Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. I'm just... Does anybody have a testimony this morning? God did something good? Yes. Isn't God faithful? You know, they can do remarkable things today with this microscopic surgery that they have now. They're able to go in and without having to pull everything out. Before, they have to pull everything out and then the infection was always much more severe. Not that it's without fault, but beloved, we're seeing things we couldn't see before. We're using techniques we never dreamt we could ever use. We never thought we could have a camera so small it could be the size of a head, on the head of a pin, that you could see better than with your naked eye. We never thought that we'd be able to apprehend these things. But God said in the last day we'd pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. He didn't say on all flesh of God of that believed in Him. For you see, whether we believe it or not, His intent has always been to every living creature that ever took a breath, you had a predestined plan, whether you know it or not. I didn't know it, and you didn't know it until He informed us, and we begin to apprehend or lay hold of the Word enough to believe it for ourselves, did we? Absolutely not. Could we have? Absolutely not. But it doesn't make that Word any less important, or that word of authority any less for anyone. It's that if they reach in to something that God intends to bless creation with the intent to get an answer, the answer will come out of God. Whether they're Hebrew or Gentile or whatever, we have to be careful that our knowledge don't put us in a place where it's the biggest segregator in the world. But we must keep an open mind for more knowledge, so that this knowledge might be apprehended, approached, and workable. It's one thing to have an imagination. It's another thing to have the imagination become workable. One thing to have a dream. It's another thing to see the dream come to pass. And we're not a dream, beloved. God just speaks to us in many different ways so that we might hear Him. You must know that you're never to the place where you can't hear God on a personal level for yourself. You must know that He doesn't segregate on who He speaks to. And that He will use whatever means is necessary to get that interpretation across. And it's a shame that every time when the church thinks they're it, they begin to separate themselves from the worship of God, and they do a religious order of things, and God is not alive in them anymore. He He can't do those things anymore that he once did. Because for some reason they don't know why. But the truth is, the why is inside of you. Inside of me. Oh, that I might know him. And the power of his resurrection. And the times when I'm happy and content and being blessed. And in the times of the press, when I'm totally not a clue what to do. And I cry unto him for an answer and struggle because I haven't yet learned how to interpret that language. But I, as Paul, press, want to apprehend that which I've been apprehended for, that I may know the power of his resurrection coming alive in me. Hallelujah! Taking its eternal place in me. Glory to God, inside of you. Hallelujah. Ho! You should be jumping up and down and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Because you see, he would have to go outside of the church. Because the church had become dead in religion and traditions. And he'd take Daniel and put him into a pagan country. A man who would refuse to be manipulated by the circumstance around him and worship his God, keep in touch with his God, no matter whether his life was dependent upon it or not, hallelujah, and would pray, hallelujah, before the Lord every day. And do you think what would happen to Daniel? But Daniel began to be the carrier of a God of all the universe to save the earth. My God. And oh, we like the majestic and we like the supernatural. We like the positions of authority that puts us on stage. That's not what he did. Because God had a plan. Not Daniel. God has a plan today. Not the United States, not Israel, not Pakistan, none of that. God has a plan. Because the Redeemer came, we're all His now. There's no Gentiles, there's no Greek, there's no Hebrew. Is there? Is there? No! Well, there is. Yeah, there is in tradition. There is in a point where that's where it was. But when Jesus came, he finished an age where man no longer had to go to the priest to be redeemed. Koma satayanda. Oh, you have to excuse the language once in a while. I know that not many understand it, but some may. Hallelujah. I cannot help myself. God is so speaking to me. Let's go to the book of John again. I can't get over this. It's so wonderful. It's got me elevated. I'm in a different plane of elevation, of thinking. And so go with me in this plane of thinking and see what the words of the Lord would say concerning these things. Hallelujah. If we'll go to the 25th verse again, I'm just going to read it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is come, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall, what? Live. And I want to show you some things. Chapter 5, John 5, 25. And while you're in John, I want you to go to John 4 and 23. And we're going to be in John a little bit. And then I'm going to move you. But I want to give you just a little cross-reference that was really, really cool pertaining to this. And in John 4 and 23 it says, but the hour's come, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And as I was looking at that and thinking upon that particular scripture and those particular words in that phrase, God began to show me and remind me once again that the Father is a spirit. And that it's through the Spirit that we are actually being addressed to come up into the spiritual world. You see, when everything physical and everything intelligent, you can kind of grab, you live in that little net of safety, right? And everybody should say, yes, that's true, because if you didn't, where are you? Well, yeah, you got to have some place where you're dwelling. It's not a bad thing at all. It's not a lesser thing. It's just where you are, and it works, and it helps us to continue to manage our lives in an intelligent way. Amen. But he's asking us to come up into a spiritual realm, a much higher realm of living, where your authority and the properties in which you use now are of a greater essence and have more power than you could have in the physical. And so, hallelujah. And so listen to this, because we're in the now. Are you in the now? Then live in the now. Don't live in the past. Listen to this. Pretty cool. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Lord in a dance, in a shout, in a word. What's it say there? And spirit and the truth. What's that mean? What's that mean? It means that there's a higher worship than you can just express with your physical. No matter if it's Suki or not, it's still physical. But there's a spiritual realm that is higher than the physical. It's greater. It has more authority. It has a greater ability to move around. It is the supernatural. It is the impossible. Hallelujah. That begins to take and work, guess how, at your command. For you, in the vehicle of faith. And the intelligence that He gives us is His Word. So when you're walking and talking and living the Word, you're spiritual. Well, let me show you. and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You know what? How many of you still pretend in some areas? Everybody. Everybody. Oh, no, not. Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm not 30 or 40. I know. And your fears and that, things that you haven't yet apprehended to. You're living by faith. But if they're not working, you're pretending. Now listen to this. And if you're pretending and they're not working, you won't reach out until they do work. You'll be satisfied in that state. Don't say amen now. I'm preaching real good now. So we've had things that we need to overcome, don't we? We have things that we haven't yet walked into, have we? Hallelujah. But the hour has come and now is. Hallelujah. And so, you see, so He wants you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now you linguish teachers, you ones that take language apart, pay attention to that. Because it's two-parted. It's now your spirit. He wants you to worship in spirit, but He wants you to worship Him in a spirit of truth. And as you worship Him in the spirit of truth, His purpose is that you own it. Or that now this resurrected life, that's because that's really what it is now yours to possess, yours to use, yours to live in, yours to begin to exercise. And you know what? Every time you get something new, you'll find out, like, I got to take my edge in because I hit a lever too hard. That adjusts the wipers. And they didn't put that thing on very good. I mean, you can't hardly see how thick the plastic is that holds this mechanism in its mechanizing properties. So I'm becoming acquainted with it right now. The only way I can use it is to stick it together. I have to stop the vehicle, stick it together, hold it in its place, because that those things are gone right now. It still works. And it's all right. But it wouldn't be all right if I kept it like that. It won't be all right if you keep if you won't take and address your mistakes and see that they get fixed properly. It doesn't have anything to do with forgiveness. With God, it has all to do with you possessing that which is rightfully yours. He's not worried about a misuse of it. He's not worried about none of that. And we've all stumbled in the Christian world because leaders have fallen and everything. And they've fallen usually because of some kind of sin in their life. Because they were never told that they had the authority to deal with it and see it eradicated out of their life. Because they yielded their members to not doing it anymore. That His spirit that was within Him was more powerful than the urges. that they felt. So there's two things there. And I love this. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You know why? Because you know what He's saying? That's my son. That's my daughter. Maddie, she showed me her report card. Straight A's plus. Come on. We can do that. You should say, what should I say? Well, you know, everybody. No, not everybody got. In fact, nobody got straight A. You can do it, beloved. You see, it's God's blessing on you that makes it possible. And so He wants you to live in that blessing. It's not that you might know Him in an awesome way. It's that you might live this life before Him in such a way that He says, that's my son, that's my daughter. Take a look at them. Hallelujah. And if you don't believe that He does that, then you need to go to the book of Job, the first chapter, and see that when Satan approached Him, because He called Satan and the sons of God came to Him, and Satan came because he was created by God. He didn't create himself. He became Satan because of an iniquity, spiritual man, not subject to death. But iniquity was found within him. That's why we're on the scene, beloved. I wish that the churches would preach the truth. That's why you come to church. That's why you come together to be developed as leaders, either homes or families or fathers or brothers or sisters or neighbors, that we might all come and learn how to be like God to everyone, to learn how to that the properties of God work in forgiveness and how they work in love and how they work in differences of all sorts and how they work together and how they are become a unison to a love where now the love makes no difference, you see, because you have different love. You think one love is higher than the other. Well, it's not. Or that this particular love is more than this one, and so they have all this confusion. And the truth is, this agape love, it's not about self. It's about the whole. Hallelujah. And so you can see, beloved, it's not about self. It's not about me. It's not even about you. It's about us. And about God being the King over us. But when it comes to a personal relationship between you and God, it is about you and God. You need to know that. David, he knew that. One thing David did know, he knew that no matter what, life or death or anything was not as important as him knowing that the Spirit of God was there with him. So let's look at a little bit further. Let's go a little bit further because this is pretty cool. John 13:1. And I'll go a little faster. Give you a little more scripture so you can get on there. Hallelujah. John 13:1. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were where? Who is he talking about then? Now listen to this. He loved them unto the end. If you look at that, when we read stuff, we need to just slow down a little bit And look at what he's saying here. He loved us so much. That's the whole human race. Not just a few. That he paid the price for all of us. And whatever state we're in. And the price is valid. It's not lesser for me. I can't take and make it lesser. Aren't you glad? We've been kind of taught religiously that we can make it lesser because we've sinned or we've been, you know, we haven't learned how to manage the spiritual things of God in us yet. That's not what he said. That don't bother him. That only bothers those that may have mastered a portion of it that maybe you haven't. Somebody say amen. This shows me something really, 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 really good. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And we know what he did. He gave his life. He paid the price. He did the ultimate sacrifice. Now, John 17:1. John 17:1. I'm going to give you more scriptures and you'll see my thinking. And these words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify the Son, that the Son also may glorify thee. Now, do you know that there was a time, the hour has come. Do you know that? The church needs to know what hour. Don't they? Don't they need to know the hour? That the price has been sacrificed and now they're to be received? Oh, Danny, that ain't preached, is it? That's why it's so important that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He said he wouldn't do this without telling you. He's not going to spook on you. He's not going to jump on you unaware. But he's working on you. Calling you unto himself now. Calling you unto his right resurrected life now. He's doing that now. I love that. That song. It'll just hang on to it. Get it down. Whether you can see it or not, the nations are going to come to the truth. Because they're not all wicked just because they don't know God. And any ruler, dictator of any sort that has to supply for a world of people, don't be foolish enough to think that if the people don't have nothing, that the dictator will have something. Don't think that a man is going to fly out of here and going to supply need when God's put it in your hands to work. Well, you can work. Well, it's a day. What can you do? You can show kindness. You can show love. You can show consideration. You can change the way that you feel because of the circumstances that's been rubbing on you. By doing the right thing. Now, you're worshiping. Enter. Hallelujah. Now the truth is being manifested out of you. And you know what God's doing? He's going to pour out blessings on you. The thing is, you always want what you don't need. You always lay hold of things that are not profitable for you. In eternity. Well, that's not necessarily what he will give you. What He will give you is that that's eternal. He will give you a faith and a courage that in the time of press or even in death, that you will know, you'll see your God. You will know your God. He will not desert you. He will be there for you. That He is greater than your circumstance, no matter what it might be. And there won't be a wonder or confusion or a hope, not knowing. It's not the kind of God we serve. But you will know for sure that He's there. Because you see, you've been practicing on becoming more spiritual. And this resurrected life becoming more alive with you. So instead of acting the way that somebody would act towards you, you have to pray and say, Lord, because your emotions would want to respond in the same reaction. But instead, hallelujah, your spiritual mind, your ability to know what to do it good. You decide and you make a choice, hallelujah, to do the right thing. And as soon as you open your mouth, as soon as you step one foot to do the right thing, there will be an empowerment that will be within you, a recognition of a God that's higher, stronger, and more powerful than any situation that might confront you at any time, hallelujah, and you will know that it is Him, hallelujah. And nobody will have to tell you how he sounds or what He sounds like or what He looks like. Glory to God. You're beginning to know because you are putting on the mind of Christ. You're putting on the properties that are incorruptible. Hallelujah. That will prove to be incorruptible. That will be immortal. Ah! Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I got just a few minutes left. Oh, mighty God. Can we go? And I'll start this, but I won't finish it, but I'm going to start it. Let's go to Luke 22. Hallelujah. And we're just going to start this a little bit. I just want to show you the magnitude, hallelujah, of this chapter 22. Of Luke. Now the feast of unleavened bread, Luke 22:1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Now we know what that is, remember? Okay, start rolling with me, honey. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way, communed with the chief priests, captains, how he might betray Him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give Him money. Just in passing, you know how much they gave Him? Do you know what the 30 pieces of silver, do you know what that was? You know what the price of that was? It was a required price for every Jew. Take a look at it. And they were glad. Okay, give me that. And covered it with Him. And He promised and He sought opportunity to betray Him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And He sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us a Passover that we may eat. And they said unto Him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And He said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall be a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into his house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber? And where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished with their make ready. And they went, found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave him thanks, and said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. And he said unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it unto them, saying, This is my body, which was given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is with me on this table. And the truth, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called, what? Benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doeth service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just let me go a little bit further on this and see. For whether is greater, he that setteth at meat or he that serveth? Is it not that he that setteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Go back just one. Just in case you think that as a man he wasn't tempted like everybody. He wasn't ridiculed. He wasn't persecuted. The sentence wasn't put upon his head. We need to rethink it. He was. Unjustly. Not that he deserved any of it. But we did. He did it for us. Okay, honey. And I appointed unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. See what he's done? That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sat on my throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And we'll stop right there. Hallelujah. I've got to stop because of the time. I'll pick it back up next week. Glory to God. I want to tell you this for sure. Hallelujah. You're on his heart. You're in his plan for this age, today. And my desire is that our worship becomes so pronounced, and I thank God for the worship we have here. Do you thank God for the worship we had here? I think it's awesome. I think it's wonderful. I think it's spiritual. I thank God for it. But I want you to feel it when you're in the press. I want you to feel it when nobody else can understand and know. I want you to feel that awesomeness about him when he begins to take and you begin to overcome things. And I know you have. But sometimes you get tired. sometimes you think, well, there are certain things that just doesn't go in your life. Hear the word of the Lord. There's a struggle there. You're not lost. But if conviction has come from the Spirit, get the answer. Take the answer. And let it begin to penetrate inside of you. And you begin to do what he says by faith. Even if the properties have to be readjusted to be stronger in you. Even if you break it and you've got to take it back and get it fixed. See, his disciples couldn't understand that some things only come through prayer and fasting. You need a foundation inside of you of prayer and fasting in at one time sackcloth and ashes was required. But we didn't see Jesus do that, did we? Huh? So he wasn't praying and fasting? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. That's what he was doing in the mountain at night. That's what he was doing when he was going up and praying to the Father. You see, he had to take and receive the answer. Well, he was God in the flesh, but he received God into the flesh. Nothing less. Full demonstration because of his obedience. That's what you want to be, isn't it? Huh? Could you tempt God? He's going to give you some understanding here. Could you tempt God? Absolutely not. Tell me, how could you tempt God? You couldn't tempt God. Tempt Jesus as a man. Because he subjected, now listen to this. He subjected himself as a man. Isn't that what he said? Just like you and me. Please don't be discouraged or think that this is of a lesser, because it's not, because he did it so that you and I, in this flesh, could overcome just like he did. He didn't all of a sudden lose his body when he went to heaven. Is that what you want? No. You want your body? Yes. You getting this? I love it. I'm just telling you, this is just coming from the Lord. Just a little knowledge and understanding that he keeps giving me. Because I love him. I want to be like him. I can't be him. I can be like him. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not without fault. I haven't totally overcome yet. But I have overcome some things. Totally. And I'm learning how to overcome some others that are very difficult for me to overcome. And there's nobody here that isn't in that position. And I won't pretend that that doesn't need to be overcome. And as long as I don't pretend that it don't need to be overcome, I ready myself to what? To overcome. And in that presence, and in that, beloved, I love you so much. You don't know who you are. You don't know how gifted you are. Are someone, and how much God loves you more than you think, more than you could imagine. But what I'm just trying to show you that He already saw it before. And He was willing to pay that price for us so that we could be seated on His throne. There's no other way I can put it. He's going to seat us, but we're going to take on His resurrected life so we can be seated. Is that all right? Is that a good way of putting it? Because I don't want you to get the wrong thinking. I don't want you to think crazy stuff. But you're going to see a lot of crazy stuff spiritually that's going to happen as you continue to lay hold. And together as a whole, you're going to be unbelievable. But we'll see Him with our eyes. And I want you to know how much He loves you, how much I love you. And I'm praying that God will continue. So let's stand. Well, thank God that Shauna had a good report. Hallelujah. And to test some of the tests that she had. There's still some things that have to be done, but that's all right. That's good. You can do them. You can do them. It can be done. You need to do them. You need to take care of yourself. If somebody can, you know, if we got a surgery or something that can be done and to help you and to remedy you so that it takes you out of that. You know, I was using my arms a lot over my head and my shoulders are still, they were aching so bad it was pathetic. Until that my whole body would tremble sometimes. But I'd do it anyway. But something that helped. I prayed and that helped. But I also took something that helped. Isn't that something? Because something works for me. I took one aspirin. Not aspirin, but one Anacin or whatever they are. Just a little white pill. And took the inflammation down. Take the swelling down. To take pain down. So that I could be freed up. You don't have to get yourself in a place. God will give us things. He tells us things. He helps us. There's all kinds of God things that He gives us. Please, don't feel intimidated if you take aspirin and it takes your headache away or something like that. Please, know that it's not God. It's not, you don't have less faith at all. He's given it to us. Use them. Okay? I want to see us happy and pain-free and as worry-free as possible so that you can really zero in on what He's called you for, who you are. Also want to thank everybody that's working with the Christmas party and the Christmas playing with the kids. Thank you for coming in and helping heal a wound. I want to thank everyone here for all that they do. And I'm praying that this word will excel you to lay hold and apprehend of God like you never have in your whole life, and not to stop, just to continue. And let's see what God will do in the midst of all of us and how He will speak in many different varied ways. Do we have anyone we need to pray for?